Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
Today we get the incredible privilege from hearing from a mighty man of God. This guy was actually saved into our youth ministry when he was a teenager in our high school's outreaches. And he has a phenomenal testimony. God has been doing amazing things in his life, and it is activated and so evident all over him as you hear him and see him move. Yesterday was his birthday as well. So let us give a massive welcome up to Matthew Hennigan, our youth leader, as he shares the word today. Come on. Let's go, Manny. You're going to do incredible, man. I believe in everything God has on your life. Avert your ears, your eyes. Let's listen to what God has to speak to us through this mighty man today. Why don't you grab your seats and give Manny another big hand of applause.
Thank you so much, Pastor Rick. Amazing. Hello, good morning. How are you? It's good to be back in church, amen. I want to say a huge welcome to our Cork and Phnom Penh family and anyone on our online campus. Can we give a round of applause? Anyone viewing online, we love you guys. We're glad to be in the room with you today as well. And man, I just have an expectation in my heart that God is going to birth something unreal in this place this morning. I don't know how you came into church today. I don't know what you're expecting, but I came for a full-length encounter with Jesus Christ, my Lord and my Savior. If it's your first time or you're new or you're visiting here, we want to warmly welcome you. My name is Matt. As Rick mentioned, I get to lead the youth ministry here. And he's right, I actually gave my heart to the Lord as an 11-year-old in Nations Youth Ministry in the Melville Civic Center 14 years ago. I'm also very good at mathematics on the fly. And I'll never forget my first encounter with God. My mum forced me to go to a church event. I didn't want to go. I actually cried because I didn't want to be there. Who here has ever cried because they don't want to go to church? All the pastors on the front row. Not today, Lord. I got to church. The guy preached whatever he preached. They invited us to come pray. And they're like, hey, put your hand up if you already believe in Jesus. And I was like, heck yeah, that's me. Because I grew up believing in Jesus. I didn't really know God, but I knew of God and I believed he was real. Anyway, they said, if you believe in Jesus, why don't you come out from your seats? We want to pray with you. So I went down to the front. And then he said, there's someone that's not down here that needs to be down here. And I'm like, how does he know this stuff about people? Then all of a sudden, one of my older brother's mates gets up from the back of the room, walks his way down to the front. And the guy moves over, he's like, hey, bring him forward. Stretches his hand, places it gently on his head. And the guy collapses instantly, drops dead like a lead balloon. Like, not actually dead. That wouldn't be good. We don't want another Ananias and Sapphira on our hands. Anyway. And I'm like, sheepers, creepers, what just happened there? And so he's like, why don't we lift our hands? So I'm like, straight away, you know, whatever you say. And he comes up to me. Sorry, it's the way we're rolling today. Places his hand on my head and this is no word of a lie. It was like an electric lightning bolt struck my body. It literally knocked me over and I got knocked out to the ground. No one needed to explain it to me. No one needed to try and introduce me. It was like the living God himself invaded my reality. And from that day on, I've been so convinced and I've known that God is real. And I want to encourage someone, maybe you're in this room today, maybe a friend invited you, maybe you're watching online, maybe someone sent this link to you and you've got unbelief or doubts in your heart about God. I want to encourage you, that's nothing to be ashamed of. There's nothing to be ashamed of there. We've all been there, but I believe the living God, the one who revealed himself to me as an 11-year-old, is alive and living today. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he wants to meet with you. He wants to meet with you here in this room. And so I'm really excited for today. And I want to speak a message about legacy because we've been, as a church, coming around this idea of the generations and about legacy. And so if you're writing notes today, the title of this message is simply this, Leaving a Legacy. And I want to challenge you with the simple thought, what legacy do you want to leave? What do you want to pass on to the next generation? Because whether you realize it or not, every single person, we are all leaving something behind us. We have the ability to choose and determine what type of legacy we want to leave. And the Bible says this. We're going to open the scripture this morning, then we're going to pray, and we will thank the worship team in just a moment. You guys have been super helpful. 2 Timothy 1 verse 5, it will be on the screen. How good is like rain on a tin roof, eh? I don't know if you guys can hear it online. The worst part about rain on a tin roof, it's like ultimate sleeping conditions. And so if I see anyone dozing off, I'm going to come and do exactly what that man did to me 11 years ago. But it won't be the Holy Spirit. It will be my fist in your... I'm kidding. We're not about killing people. We've changed. The church has progressed over the generations. 2 Timothy 1 verse 5. This is what Timothy receives from Paul. This is what Paul says to Timothy. I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first, everyone say first? First lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. You know, we've been talking about building our future, sowing into the next generation financially, but I love this scripture because it challenges me that there's more than money that we leave to the next generation. Here we see in the scripture a precedent that there is a generational faith that gets deposited from generation to generation to generation. And I believe that's the type of legacy the Holy Spirit wants to hone in on this morning. So would you join with me in praying today? Come on, why don't we close our eyes all across this room. Father God, we just thank you that you're good. We thank you that you're here. We welcome you. I ask, Lord God, that you would take me, this messy 25-year-old, Lord, and would you use me for your purposes today? Father God, I pray that you'd awaken destiny inside of people today. Lord God, I pray that people's hearts would be stirred today. Lord God, let not one person leave the house of God today without being challenged and convicted, Lord God, about the legacy that they are leaving behind them. God, I pray for a generation, not just of young people, but this entire generation, from the oldest in this place to the youngest and those listening online, a generation that leaves a legacy worth inheriting, Father God, that sets up the next generation to go harder, to run further, Lord God, to be more passionate, more on fire for you than ever before. We love you, God. We give you the glory, honor, and the praise in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said? Everyone said? Let's give God a clap of praise. Come on. Hallelujah. Amazing. Thank you so much, worship team. You guys may be dismissed until further notice, and we will see you back here soon. I want to talk about someone that I believe left a really, really great legacy. Most of us would have heard about him. His name is from the Old Testament. His name is David. Give me a wave if you've heard about a guy called David before. Awesome. Awesome. We're in good company. David was a king. And David had a heritage come after him of kings. In fact, God said to David that I will establish your lineage and kings will come from you and it will be an eternal kinghood. So much so that our very Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, has his lineage dated back all the way to King David himself. That David lived an example of lifestyle. He modeled a type of character and a type of way of living that God himself said, that is worthy to write myself into the lineage of. I love David. And I want to look at his life because I believe there's some key attributes about David that we can learn from today as we're thinking about the legacy that we want to leave behind us, the people that are coming up after us, what we can do to set them up for a win as well. And the Bible says this in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse number 34. David said to Saul, this is David. He's giving his CV, trying to kill Goliath on the battlefield. And this is how he describes himself. David said to Saul, your servant, me, used to keep sheep for my father. And when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb out from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And if he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Now, sometimes we can read the Bible, and I don't know about you, I'm like, that's a lovely story. But can we just zone in on what actually is just, you guys see that? Sorry, I will not get distracted by the raindrop that just came. The great thing about me is I'm really focused at all times. You'll notice as this message goes for 50 minutes. No, I'm kidding. David says that, I should kill Goliath because one time I was keeping my father's sheep and then a bear and a lion came and I struck it, caught it by the jaw, killed it and saved the sheep. And we're like, yeah, David, you get him. You get him. Wait, who here has killed a lion before? Nobody. Who here has killed a bear before? You know what? I actually went on YouTube in my research for this sermon to try and find out what lions were like when they would attack flocks. And I found a video of a lion attacking a herd of gazelles. And I wanted to show it today, but due to its expletive nature in visual graphic content, I cannot actually show that content to you. But I'll fill you guys in the details. The gazelle did not win. The gazelle went to gazelle heaven and is now worshiping the Lord with all the other gazelles that got eaten by the same lion. And it's like, okay, how did David get a sheep out? And the Bible literally says here that if I went after him and struck him and delivered out of his mouth, he went after him. Like a gazelle, like not a gazelle, a sheep in this story, but one of his sheep gets taken by a lion, dragged off, and David's like, not today. And he runs after, like, who does that? Who is this David guy? And the crazy thing, no one's around. No one's seeing it. He's not putting on Instagram, like, hashtag lion killer, you know. There's nothing like that people see. He's just faithfully doing it for his father. David didn't back away from a fight. In fact, a funny story, Deb Stewart, if you're in the room, you'll like this story. On Friday night after youth, we went to an after party with all of our youth leaders, came together just to hang out. And I was like, I got there a bit later, and the park where you had to park was like 5 minutes down the road. More like 1.5 minutes. But it's in Atwell. And so I'm on my way walking, then I see another car come. And I was like, oh, I bet it's my friend Matt Catterall. And so I'm like, you know what I'll do? I'll jump out from behind a tree, and I'll scare him. It'll be hilarious. And so I like hide myself, and I had a T-shirt on, so I, you know, pulled it up over my face. And as Matt Catterall is walking, it dawns on me, this is not Matt Catterall. It's actually Deb Stewart's son, Ross. And so Ross is walking along, and I was like, you know what? A joke's a joke. He'll have a good time as well. And so there I am, bending my body to like fit in with the curve of this tree. And then this guy is walking down. I'm like, okay, Matt, here we go. Hey! Hey, and I kid you not, Ross, he's got like McDonald's and drinks in his hand, and he's like, oh, and it's like, the funniest thing was, he was more concerned about carefully putting his food on the floor than getting out of there. I just, not to blame Ross, I love the guy, but if he was keeping the sheep, would he go after the lion? In fact, a question for any of us here, if we were keeping the sheep, would we go after the lion as well? One of the hallmarks of David is that he did things when no one saw. That he killed lions, he killed bears, and he killed Goliath. And we all love the David killing Goliath story, where he gets up there with a stone, bam, pop, down to the ground, and it's like he becomes, you know, the champion, and that's his way into kingship. We love those stories, but David did more than just killing Goliath. He killed lions and bears when no one was watching. And I believe the Bible describes this perfectly in Acts 13, if we've got that scripture. Acts chapter 13, verses number 22. In faith, it's going to be on my iPad. And when he had removed him, he raised up David to be their king, of whom God testified and said, I have found in David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. And this is the puncher, who will do all my will. David wasn't concerned with just the will of God that other people saw. He was concerned with the will of God that nobody saw. I believe sometimes we're so consumed with this idea of how we look in front of people, how we present ourselves on a Sunday, what people think about us. And don't get me wrong, that stuff isn't bad, but it's not the complete picture. David wasn't just concerned with killing Goliath in front of everyone. He was concerned with killing bears and lions when no one else was around and going to give him credit for him. The father had no idea what type of day he had been through, but he did it faithfully because he was faithful regardless who was inside. That David, this legacy leaver, he was faithful when nobody else saw it. I wonder for you, maybe what lions and bears, what are the things in your life that are going on that maybe nobody else sees? What goes on when no one else is around? Because can I tell you, if we want to be a generation that leaves a legacy like David, we got to value the fight with the lion and the bear just as much as the fight with Goliath. I don't know about you, but for me, I've got to value my time with the Lord in seeking Him when I'm not preaching just as much as when I am. I can't just be consumed with how you see me here, because the reality is God sees me everywhere. And I believe that God wants to leave a legacy, a generation that leaves a legacy that doesn't just look good to some people, but looks good before their Father in heaven. That we are called to be like David, legacy leavers. And the thing about legacy leavers is, I wonder if they realized the impact that their seemingly insignificant decisions had on future generations. David that day, when he chased after that lion and that bear, do you reckon he thought about the Goliath that was to come? Do you reckon it was even in his radar about being a king? Or 2 Timothy 1 verse 15, if we put that scripture back up again, it says this: I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. Put your hand up if you've heard of the Apostle Paul before. Awesome, majority of the room. Put your hand up if you've heard of Timothy before. Amazing. Now put your hand up if you have heard, what was her name again? Eunice. Who has heard of Luke? Yeah, cool. Couple of Eunice fans. Eunice is my girl. We have coffee on Tuesdays. Anyone had the name Lois come to mind before, or heard of Lois in the story? The hands are, they're dropping few by few. What's crazy is that we've all heard of Paul. We've all heard of Timothy. But the Bible said the faith first dwelt in Lois. You know, I think sometimes we can be discouraged because we feel like, man, I'm not a David. I don't have the spotlight. I'm not doing anything great with God. I'm not a preacher. I'm not a man of God. I'm just an average Joe. I work in a high school, or I work at BHP. I try and tithe regularly. I try to pray and provide for my family. And we'd see ourselves as insignificant. But I just wonder, did Lois know when she accepted Jesus or accepted the Lord into her heart for the very first time, the generational impact that would have? That we are sitting in a room today reading a book written to a man named Timothy from a man named Paul that has application to our lives today, that the Holy Spirit inspired, that God used Timothy to plant a local church in his area in his time to expand the gospel. But it started not with a killing the Goliath moment. It started with one person being faithful. See, we might not all be called to be a David. We might not all be called to be a Timothy or a Paul, but we all have an opportunity to be a Lewis. We all have Lois. Any Lewis is here today? We love you, bro, wherever you are. We all have an opportunity to be a Lois. That we can have a type of faith that outlives us. So many of us feel like our impact is insignificant, but I just wonder, on the other side of your faithfulness, to seek God when no one's looking, to pray for your family when they don't know about it, to come to church when you don't feel like it, to continue to put yourself on your knees before God when you're going through a hardship and a decision that's overwhelming. To not allow the circumstances of life to determine your response, but allow your love for God to determine the way you live. If you can choose to be someone like Lois that says, you know what, no matter what, I'm giving myself wholeheartedly to you, God. There is nothing God can't do with the legacy that you leave behind you. We might not be Davids in this room, but we all have an opportunity to be Lois. And the cool thing about legacy that I've discovered is that legacy, it only gets bigger. Yeah. Who here has ever received an inheritance before? Awesome. Not many of us. I'm still waiting for mine. It's great. But, you know, Mom, if you're watching this, no, I'm kidding. Kidding. I love your car is really, no, I'll stop. I love my mom and my dad. But legacy or inheritance, it gets bigger generation to generation. We understand this because if you buy a house and you leave it to the next generation, it's going to be worth a lot more by the time they inherit than when you started with it. I know some mates that it's like their parents bought houses in Winthrop 10, 20 years ago for $250,000, and now they're nearly up to $1 million in value. And they didn't do anything for it, but just simply by owning and possessing it, it got bigger and larger and more valuable over time. And I think it's the same with the spiritual legacy that we choose to leave behind us. The legacy that you have inside of you, it only expands and gets larger with the generations to come.
I want to prove this to you through scripture, because David killed Goliath, bears, and lions. But what's profound is we read the story in 1 Samuel chapter number 16 about David. Yeah, I killed the bear, I killed the lion, it's all good. And we're like, yeah, you get him, David. But there's another story that I want to draw your attention to. That's in 2 Samuel chapter number 23, verse number 20. It says this, in this passage of scripture, it's talking about David's mighty men. So all the people that David raised up in his army, that he raised up, that were running with him. And this is what it writes. It lists them one after the other, after the other, after the other. And we get to verse 20 and it says this. There was also Benaiah, son of Jehoiada. Don't be a hater. Son of Jehoiada, a valiant warrior from Kabzeel. I probably should have practiced how to pronounce these words before this morning. Anyway, he did many heroic deeds, which include killing two champions of Moab. Another time on a snowy day, he chased a lion down into a pit and killed it too. We know David because he killed a Goliath that day. He killed a giant that day. But here's this guy, Benaiah. Most of us probably don't even know the name Benaiah, but the Bible records he didn't kill just one Goliath or one giant. He killed two champions or two Goliaths and giants in his time. And David, the legacy that he led by fighting that battle when no one else saw, he made a way for the next generation to go further and do more. And 1 Samuel chapter number 16, the context when David killed Goliath was 1024 BC. 2 Samuel was written in 970 BC, approximately 54 years later. I wonder when David was there in the paddock that day when Sean got taken by Mufasa. Some of us are going, oh yeah, I watched that with my kids. And he's like, you know what? Not today. No one's gonna see it. I'm not gonna get glory for it. I'm just gonna do it in faithfulness to God. Did he have Benaiah in mind? Did he realize the insignificant faithfulness of today, the repercussions it would have on the generations tomorrow? Did he realize how he just loved God today, the impact that would have on the generations to come after him? I believe that we're in a room full of Davids in a sense like this morning, that you might not realize what your impact is having on the generations to come. That when you seek God, when you hunger for him, when you get a faith in God, it only gives way for the next generation to go further and further and further and further. I believe that if it starts in us, it grows in the next generation. I don't just want to have a generation of teenagers in our youth ministry that know how to pray for the sick. I want to have a generation that know how to raise the dead. I want to have a generation of revivalists. I might have been able to share my testimony when I was a teenager in my high school in year 12, but I want to see a generation of young people that know how to see their friends come to Christ in the middle of their school and actually accept him as Lord. I want the legacy that's coming behind me to be better and larger and greater than the one that I leave, because God makes it bigger as it grows. The legacy that you leave behind you only gets bigger. And I love this scripture because there's like a random fact in there. If we could chuck that verse up again. 2 Samuel 23 verse 20. There's Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, a valiant warrior from Kabzeel. He did many heroic deeds, which included killing two champions of Moab. Another time on a snowy day, he chased a lion down into a pit. Thank you, Bible, for telling us that it was a snowy day. Have you ever like wondered why there's these random facts in scripture before? It's like, and Jesus was asleep on a pillow. It's like, thanks, good that he went to snooze that day. I don't know, like, they're just telling us each random fact. But it says that he was killed the lion on a snowy day. And I've read that before, and I'm like, yeah, big whoop, what about it? But a few months ago, I actually went to a place that most of us would know. It's called Japan. Has anyone ever been to Japan before? And I had a great snowboarding trip, and we had so much fun. It was actually one of my favorite holidays ever. And me and my friend Johan, who's at the back of the auditorium, running around, doing all the stuff today, we decided, as you get the first day under your belt, you're feeling good. Second day, you're feeling a bit better. Third day, you get a little bit too confident. You're like, all right, now let's try some things, you know what I'm saying? And so there was like, we had this path where you're meant to ride, and it's all kind of smoothly laid out because everyone's ridden it over and over and over. But if you look off just to the right, through these trees, you'll see the snow that nobody's ever ridden before. It's fresh powder, it's beautiful, and it's like, man, that is going to be a good time. And the signs explicitly warn you, do not go off track, lest danger awaits you. And so we read those signs and said, God, you are our protection. You are our fortress in the night. And then we went down this path. And, you know, before we knew it, the snowboard just turned. And we went down this area where no one had traveled before. And can I tell you, it was awesome. We had so much fun. We were carving through. Good thing I was wearing a helmet because this tree branches kind of hit you in the head all the time. And so I made it all the way through. And then it got to a point that the track just stopped. And we're standing there. And when you stop on snow that's fresh, you don't just stop. You stop and then you sink. And then before I know it, I'm standing there with snow up to my waist. And I don't know if you, has anyone ever been to the snow before skiing or snowboarding? The equipment that they get you to wear is heavy, man. It's like, I've already got enough weight on the back of this bad boy already. And it's like, now you want to add on 20 kilos in my shoes and then some like pants and layers. And so it's like, I've got all this weight weighing me down. And so then I have to like pick myself up. And it took literally like 20 to 30 minutes to get out of there carrying a snowboard. And by the end of it, I was just so exhausted. I just collapsed on the ground. I was like, oh my gosh, thank you, Lord, for saving me. Now, could you imagine killing a lion in those conditions? Could you just imagine, not jelly wrestling, snow wrestling with a lion? I don't think it would be the optimum environment to actually see a victory happen that day. But what's crazy is David killed a lion and a bear in a field, and the next generation did it in harder, more difficult times and conditions. Your faithfulness and my faithfulness today, it makes a way not just for the generation after us to do the same things that we've done, to repeat, rinse, and go again. But it gives them opportunity, like Benaiah, to go further, to run harder, to see more of God experienced in their world than ever before. Even if there's more persecution, even if the times are more difficult because of social media, even if there's a pandemic on, it doesn't matter about the environment, but the legacy inside you and I makes a way for the next generation to go further and see it multiply in their lifetime. Our legacy outlives us. And I want to invite the worship team to come and join me for this part. But I am a product of this. I had, as a teenager, amazing youth leaders. I got saved, like Pastor Rick said, through high school's program when Nations Youth and Pastor John Mez came into my school and they ran some programs. And then I went to the youth ministry and I gave my heart to God. And then they raised me up and they helped me to grow and know my identity. And I've got amazing men and women of God like Pastor Clara Lorkin, like Pastor John Mayers, like Judson, just people that have discipled and sown into my life. And I am a part of the legacy journey. I am here today because some of you personally in this room, some of your children, some of us have actually decided to sow into my life. And I don't just want to let it stop with me. I want to be a part of giving on to the next generation. I want to see teenagers know their identity so strong. I want to see teenagers that are firm in faith in the midst of trouble. That they don't allow what's popular to determine what they believe. They allow the Word of God to determine what they believe. We've got a generation out there being discipled through social media, through TikTok and Instagram and all these avenues, which is not the gospel. And I want to be a part of a generation that tells them, no. I know your friends say that, but this is the truth of the Word of God. This is who you are. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Your soul needs to know it full well. And the legacy that we carry gets expanded in the next generation. You know, for me personally, I believe that if I can be faithful to pray for someone with crutches, it makes a way for people like Connor to raise people out of wheelchairs. That if I can devote my whole life to God and be faithful to seek Him when no one else is watching, it lays a foundation for the next generation not to struggle to read their Bible, but to love God intimately every single day. I don't want to leave a legacy behind me that says, yeah, you got to work really hard, push uphill. I want to set a foundation for the next generation to come to go even further than I ever could. And can I just tell you, man, what it does in my heart, when I look at the older generation before me and I see them with hands lifted, loving God with everything, when I see dads praying for their families, being faithful in the house of God, I want to encourage you, if you're here and you're watching online and you're faithful with God and you're serving Him and you're seeking Him and you're loving Him, you might not feel significant. You might not feel like your life matters, but can I tell you, you are a champion in the kingdom of God. You are a legend. You are a winner. You are a success by simply being in the house of God today for your family. You are making a way for them to know Him even better. What it does in my heart when I see older generations get on their knees and seek God and cry out, it provokes a hunger on the inside of me to say, God, I want you like they want you. I want to seek you like they seek you. I want to experience you like they experience you. When I hear testimonies of people, mighty men of God, Mike Malice, Charles, when you guys tell me about the things that God's done through you, it whets an appetite in me to say, maybe God can do that in me too. Wow, God spoke to you about that. I wonder what He could do with me. Legacy is only ever intended to be expanded upon. So my question to you today is simply this: what legacy are you leaving? What is the example of your life storing up for the next generation to inherit? Are you leaving a legacy of faith, of hunger, of desperation, of a love for God? Or are you leaving a legacy of apathy, of feelings, leaving a legacy of whatever's convenient for you? I'm not here to condemn or to challenge you. I'm right in that boat with everyone in this room. But I don't know about you. I don't just want to go through this time of building our future, hearing about generations say, yeah, that's great. I'm going to give my money. That's it. No, no, no. I want to ask the Lord God, what do I need to do today to set up the generations to come to be even greater than I've done before? Right now, can we just stand to our feet all across this room? There's a story, a scripture in Hebrews 11, verse number 4. It says this: it was by faith that Abel brought a more acceptable offering to God than Cain did. Abel's offering gave evidence that he was a righteous man, and God showed His approval of his gifts. Although Abel is long dead, he still speaks to us by his example of faith. I'm just going to read that one more time because it's so profound. It was by faith that Abel brought a more acceptable offering to God than Cain did. Abel's offering gave evidence that he was a righteous man, and God showed His approval of his gifts. Although Abel is long dead, he still speaks to us by his example of faith. Abel was the second generation to ever be born in the world. Did Abel know about the millennia to come? Me and you in this room today? Did he see us in his mind? Did he realize the impact he was making? Or did he just love God with everything he could where he was? And his offering to God that day to say, God, I just love you and I give you everything. The Bible records, though he is dead, it still speaks to us today. The legacy of Abel is still alive in this room today. His example of faith to say, God, I love you. I bring my best to you. It is still speaking and ministering and moving in hearts today. It's written in Holy Scriptures, and we are the beneficiaries of this man's love for God. I wonder what generation would come that would inherit our legacy if we just chose, you know what, God? I might not kill Goliath in my time. I might not get the glory in the stage, but I'm going to be a Lois. I'm going to be a faithful one who loves you all of my days. I'm going to be in the Word every single day. I'm going to seek you. I'm going to pray for my family daily. I'm going to pray for my high school daily. I'm going to deal with the unwholeness inside of me and bring that before you. I'm going to deal with the addiction, with the challenge going on that no one knows about, because I want to leave a legacy of purity, a legacy of wholeness, a legacy of generations would inherit to come. What legacy do you want to leave today? Because the encouraging part of this confronting message, and I'm sorry if it has come and felt that way, but the encouraging part is we are all in control of the legacy we leave. You have a decision today to determine what the generations coming after you inherit. Not just your natural children, but there are people, children growing up in this house, whether you realize it or not, they are looking and they are seeing you too. And your example sets them for an inheritance. I would love to pray for a couple of groups of people. Would we close our eyes all across this room? the first group of people, and maybe you're watching online as well, I just want to encourage you, could you just close your eyes for this part of the message as well? The Bible says in 2 Timothy 1, verse number 15, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded now lives in you also. The faith that Timothy had, it first lived in somebody. I want to ask you, what faith lives inside of you today? Have you placed your personal faith in the reality of the Lord Jesus Christ? See, God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish, but have eternal life. The good news for you and for me today, friend, is we don't need to strive. We don't need to perform. We don't need to try. We just simply need a belief that Jesus Christ died on the cross, rose again, and He is the Lord of our life. And the Bible says that you will be saved. If you want to be someone that leaves a legacy, and I believe we all want to be that person, it starts by placing your faith in Jesus Christ. He loved you so much. He paid for all of your sin. He dealt with it all at the cross. And He says over your life, if you accept me, you are forgiven. We could pay the price ourselves, but we would never have enough. But Jesus came and paid it for us so we could just simply believe in Him and experience the free gift of eternal life and salvation. And so I want to say a prayer today. And if you're in this room, we're all going to say this prayer as a church family. And maybe you're yet to place your faith in Jesus. All you need to do is just say these words with me. It's just a declaration, because the Bible says if you confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that Jesus is Lord, you'll be saved. And so we're going to do exactly that right now. And if you are watching online as well, I want to encourage you, would you repeat these words with me? Because I believe as we say them, faith is going to come into your heart to believe the Lord God loves you. He's real. You're going to have your encounter with the Lord today. Come on, let's say this together. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you that you're real. I thank you that you love me. Right now, God, I ask, would you come into my heart? Come into my life. Take control. I'm done living for me. I give you my life. Cleanse me. Forgive me. Wash me clean. And I will live for you all my days. I love you, God. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Come on, let's give a massive round of applause for every single person that said that for the first or for the second time. Amazing. Just with all eyes closed, if that's you and you said that prayer maybe for the first time or maybe for the first time in a while and you're recommitting your life, could you just signal that was to me? Just lift your hand right now. I just want to see who was that. Yeah, I see that hand over there. Awesome. Amazing. Amazing. Praise God. I see that hand in the middle there as well. Awesome. If that's you and you meant that prayer, can you just give me a wave right now just so I can identify? We don't want to call you out or make you feel uncomfortable. It's just because we want our team to be able to connect with you and continue this journey with you. So if there's anyone else in this place and you said that prayer or meant it or rededicated your heart and something real happened in you, can you just identify yourself to me right now? Awesome. Yeah, I see your hand there. Amazing. Amazing. Well done. So proud of you. Wow. Well, we're going to land this message in just a moment, but I want to speak to every single person in this room and online. The simple question, what legacy do you want to leave? What legacy do you want to leave? And I feel like in this place, God is stirring and activating someone to say, you know what? My inconsequential decisions today have a big consequence for the generations to come. When I choose to seek God, when I don't feel like it, I'm laying a foundation for my family to be in the house of God and committed to Him for the generations to come. What generation is coming after you? What will they inherit? So right now, if we could just sing that song, actually, the sound of revival, can we just focus our attention on Jesus? Then we're going to pray.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church Podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.